Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 196 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, we're going to have at least one, maybe two special guests coming in later tonight, but right now we're going to talk some Ankeny football. My first guest is the head coach of the Hawks. He's led the fourth-ranked team to a 2-1 record thus far. He is Rick Nelson. Rick, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys obviously have a tough game coming up on Friday, but before we break that one down, I wanted to briefly recap last week's game against Dowling Catholic. The Maroons posted a 17-10 victory to hand your team its first loss. I'm sure you've had plenty of time now to break that film down. What did you learn from watching that game?
That we're our own worst enemy. I mean, it's not who we're playing. It's just us on offense, defense, kicking game. You know, probably the first half, I bet we had a bust on every offensive play that we ran. And I know defensively we had a lot of mental errors also in the first half. So we just need to get those corrected. I think, you know, physically, athletically, we have a good football team. But we're just not hitting on all cylinders and being the team that I think we can be. So we've talked about it. We're addressing it just to make sure that we don't want to help our opponents, and that's what we're doing right now.
There's a lot of hype around the contest because many people felt like it was a matchup between the top two quarterbacks in the state, J.J. Cole of Ankeny and Jackson Smolik of Dowling, but it really ended up being more of a defensive battle. You know, and I thought Dowling showed that their identity is still being able to run the football, isn't it?
Yeah, they didn't really throw the ball down the field. I was a little surprised. They did on that fourth down. The kid made a nice catch. It was pretty a 50-50 ball. I think PJ had a great chance at getting that ball too. So, but yeah, running the football, we'd like to run the football better. You know, you can see how fast Jason is. We just can't get him past the first level right now. If we do, I mean, he ran away from every kid on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we know that we have special players. We just have to execute a little bit better.
Well, now you're focused on Southeast Polk now, so let's take a look at Friday's game over at Pleasant Hill. You guys are obviously very familiar with the Rams. This will be the fourth meeting between the two teams since 2020. Of course, your team defeated Southeast Polk in the Class 4A championship game 2 years ago, and then you defeated them again during the regular season last year. But Southeast Polk did come back to win the rematch in the first ever Class 5A title game, and now they're off to a 3-0 start. So they're riding a 12-game winning streak dating back to last year. So what have you seen from them on tape?
They're pretty good-sized linemen on the offense. The quarterback is a pretty headsy kid, but I think their running back is what makes them go. Dowling had him numerous times stopped, and he'd just sit pop, 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 and then all of a sudden he'd come out the back door, and he's so fast that, you know, once he got to that second level, he just ran away from everybody. So well, I think it's their running back on offense that's what our guys are just going to have to tackle.
Well, Southeast Polk's already defeated three quality opponents. You mentioned Dowling. The Rams opened the season with a 38-24 win, you know, over Dowling, the same team that you lost to last week. The Rams then followed with a 24-7 victory over Valley and then a 42-21 win over Waukee Northwest. And those first two games were on the road at Valley Stadium. So, you know, they're certainly battle-tested. I'm not sure if there's a tougher opening, you know, four-game stretch than that one.
No, I think as you look at schedules in this area, probably Dowling, Valley, Waukee Northwest, and then us, Ankeny, we have really tough schedules, all of us. We kind of play each other, and, you know, and then you add Centennial in the mix, and then we play the best city school. We'll play Roosevelt. So, you know, we have a tough schedule, and I think that's okay. you know, we need to win so that we can be where we want to be at the end of the season. But I like the schedule because we're going to be battle-tested. We're going to be playing good teams. And if we can do what I think we can do, we'll be there in the playoffs, and that's going to help us in October.
Well, you mentioned the Southeast Polk running back, and I'll get to him here in a minute. They have a number of individual stars, including highly touted offensive lineman Caden Proctor. He's an Iowa recruit, and I'm not so sure that, you know, he couldn't start for the Hawkeyes right now, you know, based on what I saw on Saturday over there at Kinnick Stadium. But anyways, it's not too often that you run into a 6'8", 345-pound lineman in high school, you know, who moves as well as he does. Can you really game plan for a guy like that, or do you just have to line up against him and take your best shot at him?
No, I don't. We're not game planning for him. We're game planning for their running back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've coached a lot of good linemen. I don't know that anybody game plans for a lineman. In fact, it's kind of interesting. They actually run, from what I've seen, and I've got my hands full on the offense, but they run a lot of times away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Where I thought maybe they would run more towards him because he is. We saw him last night down at WHO, and Joe's a big kid. Joe Kingston's 6'2", about 3'10", you know, but this guy is a...
he's a mountain.
Yeah, he's a big kid.
Well, of course, Southeast Polk has a new quarterback this year in junior Connor Moberly, and he's put up some good numbers. He's 36 of 53 for 447 yards. He's got three touchdowns, and he's yet to throw a pick. You know, have you been impressed with him thus far?
Yeah. I mean, I think I remember that he's the same kid that played JV last year and did a nice job for him. Pretty athletic. You know, he knows, you know, they don't do a ton of stuff. They just do it well, what they do. And so, you know, he plays within himself, and they have a good solid football team, and our kids know we're going to have to play well to beat Southeast Polk.
When you mentioned the running back, of course, that's Abu Sama, who's already rushed for 359 yards and seven touchdowns. He's an Iowa State recruit, but he's not the Rams' only weapon in the backfield. Harrison Gibson has rushed for 305 yards, and he actually leads the team with 52 carries. So do they kind of rotate those two guys, or do they play them together?
Well, they rotate because the one kid plays corner. So he can't – I mean, it'd be tough for him to play all the time. I mean,
right.
We got a young man here that we play a lot.
Right.
And so it's hard on him, you know, to play offense, defense, and then they're in on kicking game. So, yeah, they spell him some on offense just because he plays corner.
Sure. Well, I know you're pretty happy with how your defense played against Dowling, giving up just the 17 points. You know, what's going to be the key for your defense to slow down the Rams' attack?
Well, I think tackling. You know, Dowling had had their run game stopped several times that he had big play. The first play of the game, they had him pinned up, and he squirted out the back and I think went 70 yards. If you look at that game, I think he had three pretty long runs against Dowling, and they really had him stopped up. He didn't go down, and then he just popped out the back door. So for us just to be assignment sound, execute what our kids, you know, are told to do, and, you know, see what happens. Right now we're making quite a few errors that might be extending a drive. And so it's not so much what teams are doing to us, it's what we're doing to ourselves on offense and defense.
Well, on the other side of the ball, Southeast Polk's three leading tacklers are all juniors. Their fourth leading tackler is a senior, Cole Rogers, who has also intercepted three passes this season. So what have you seen from their defense? I don't imagine they've changed a whole lot from what they've done in the past, have they?
No, they've really played pretty good defense. All last year, I thought they had a good defensive team. And in the state game, you know, we couldn't really get it going. The fourth down, we watched it today on film. You know, it still makes me ill. But we were on, I think, the 3-yard line and fourth down. And then that's when they took on that big drive. But, yeah, they play solid defense. They're coached well. Their kids are tough. And, you know, we have to execute. We've kind of limited our game plan to see if we can't, you know, stop making some mental errors. You know, we thought maybe as coaches we were doing a little bit too much. to where our kids were having some mental errors. So we cut our game plan down pretty significantly.
Well, you mentioned the mistakes that you guys have made on offense, and obviously you guys haven't hit your stride, you know, yet on that side of the ball. You've been held under 20 points the last two games. I know that's not what you're looking for. You know, how have the practices been going this week? And you said you've kind of dialed things back. You know, do you think that's going to help then?
Well, we hope so. We had a lot of offense in the first 3 weeks, and you know, they're all great plays, but you know, if you're not executing them, they're not such great plays. So we just kind of went back to, okay, what can we do to beat Polk? What can our kids do, and you know, not have mental errors. We have a really good football team, and offensively, we should be lights out. And we're not right, we're not there, but we're not that far off either. So I think when we get firing on all cylinders, we'll be extremely hard to stop.
When you mentioned your new running back earlier, Jason Williams, he did have an 80-yard touchdown run last week, but he was otherwise held in check. In three games, though, he has rushed for 315 yards on 51 carries. Have you been pleased with his progress in picking up the offense?
Yeah. You know, it's a little different than what he's used to at Kennedy. It's a little bit different type of package than what he was used to. And he's a super kid. He's extremely fast. And we just have to – if we can just get him going, that's what we tell linemen. Let's just get him to that second level. I think, you know, he'll have a lot of fun. But we just haven't been able to do that yet.
And your quarterback, J.J., has completed about 57% of his passes for 561 yards and two touchdowns. He has been picked off three times, though. After the big season that he had last year, do you think teams are defending him any different this year?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think what we looked at as coaches is, are we doing the best things, you know, for J.J.? And, you know, we just had too much stuff. You know, it'd be one thing if – we could meet, you know, with him during school and do, you know, like sure. A college deal. He's definitely has a college arm. There's probably not too many guys that can throw the ball better than him that would probably even be in college. But I think we were overloading him a little bit. And, you know, we had different concepts. And so we just cut some of that stuff back. And he can throw the heck out of the ball. I mean, he's a great quarterback. I think we were just overloading him with too much stuff. And so we cut it down. And I think that will help him be more comfortable. I think it's going to help our receivers, you know, especially some kids that are playing both ways. We have a couple kids that are playing both ways. So as coaches, you know, you sit there and you go, oh, man, this is awesome. Oh, gee, he can make that. Oh, this is awesome. Well, all of a sudden, you know, you've got the best 100 plays and you're not good at anything.
Right. Well, of course, your team has graduated a number of key receivers over the last couple of years, but J.J. still has some talented, you know, guys to throw to, including the one sitting right here with us. You know, can you talk about the impact that Jameson has had on the team? I mean, the guy hardly ever leaves the field.
No. I just want to tell you that if you get a chance to ever meet J.Mo, he's an unbelievable young man. I mean, as good a football player that he is, he's a better person. And we're very lucky that, you know, him and his mom moved here to come and play their senior year. He's just a special kid. And I'm really excited that he's going to go to Iowa State, because then, you know, I'll be able to watch him play. And he's just a neat kid. I mean, he was voted captain, you know, and he was just here a semester.
Mm-hmm.
And kids really like him. He's a likable kid, and he's just a great competitor. I mean, you almost have to tell him, you know, to stop doing things. You know, in the summer he was playing baseball. He was doing football. He was, you know, playing 7-on-7 in the spring. You know, he's going and getting extra training, you know. But, you know, it's like, hey, just, you know, slow down just a little bit. But we're excited. You know, he's done some really neat things for us, and he's gonna really have a great year for us.
I'm sure you'll be counting on him, you know, big time on Friday. What's going to be the key for your team to have success against Southeast Polk's defense and then to come away with a victory?
Well, I think, you know, to try to win first downs. You know, we haven't done that very well to where we're not second and 10. Or to have a nice first play and then have a penalty. We just haven't been able to, you know, to win the chains to where we're putting ourselves in some situations that you just don't want to be in. So, you know, we've got some things that we're going to do with JMO, some different things than what we've done, just to get him the ball. I'm sure, you know, people are going to bracket him, you know, try to take JMO away. And so we think we have some answers to get him the football. We'd like to get him somewhere around 15 touches. And I think, how many times did you touch the ball last week?
Five, maybe.
So we'd like to get him, you know, we'd like to get him about 15 touches, and then, you know, let him play defense because he's valuable on defense too, and he's valuable on, you know, he's valuable on special teams too. So he's a special player.
Well, regardless of how this game turns out on Friday, you know, there's a chance you could see Southeast Polk again later this year or Dowling. I mean, I think everybody thought those three teams would be among the best in Class 5A coming into the year. Have you seen anything in the first 3 weeks of the season that has surprised you as far as the overall landscape in 5A?
No, I haven't watched like Urbandale. I haven't seen them. I haven't seen Johnston. I haven't seen Cedar Falls. You know, I think it was a big win for Urbandale beating Bettendorf. Pleasant Valley must be pretty good because they put it on somebody. Was it Prairie?
I think so.
And then Prairie beat Cedar Falls, so, you know, they must be pretty good. I was a little shocked. We scrimmaged Liberty, and Liberty put it on Iowa City. I was a little surprised with that score. But I haven't seen Liberty's front people. We've only seen them, their 7-on-7 guys, mm-hmm. a couple times. So I was a little shocked by that, but then Iowa City really got all over Ames. Ames can really throw the football, and they've got a nice running back. So Ames, you know, has maybe one or two tough teams left that I think, you know, so they'll be right there too. But, yeah, you know, I think it's the last – well, this is my eighth year, and typically the champs have come from Des Moines.
Right.
And so, you know, you've got to be good going into October.
Well, it should be a fun rest of the season. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to Friday's game. I'll see you over there. Good luck, Rick.
Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a senior defensive back and receiver for the Hawks. He leads the team with 19.5 tackles and is also the leading receiver with 18 catches for 226 yards. He is verbally committed to play for Iowa State next year. He is Jamison Patton. Jamo, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, it's obviously a tough loss for you guys last Friday. Were you able to put that one behind you quickly and move on?
For sure, yeah. Even though it was a loss, I think it was a good loss for us, a good eye-opener, and just open our minds to see what we need to work on and see what we can get better at.
Well, I asked Coach this question. I'll ask you, too. What did you learn from that loss, you know, from watching the tape?
Like Coach said, we're really just been beating ourselves, and that's our biggest struggle right now is just getting over that hump of the mind and just making mind mistakes and just focusing on what we can do and what we can control.
Well, you guys certainly can't dwell on that loss because you've got another huge showdown coming up on Friday at Southeast Polk. I'm sure a lot of people are expecting the Rams to win that one. So do you kind of feel like you guys, you know, have nothing to lose going over there?
Oh, yeah. Coming off a loss, we got a burning feeling in us. So I think the environment will be great. Atmosphere will be great. Southeast Polk got a great team. We got a great team too. So it's going to be a competitive game, and I'm ready to get after it.
Well, I talked with Coach about some of the Southeast Polk stars, and, of course, you and Abu Sama are both headed to Iowa State next year. And speaking of the Cyclones, what did you think of that game on Saturday? I'm sure you enjoyed the Iowa State win, but did you expect it to be such a defensive battle?
I didn't, but with that game, you really never know. It's usually always a great game, and I'm glad to see the Cyclones on top.
When you watch a game like that, do you keep your eye on the Iowa State secondary and try to figure out, you know, how you're going to fit into the picture next year and beyond?
For sure, yeah. Me, personally, I know most of those guys playing in there, and being on my official visit, I got to hang out with those guys. So just knowing that I know my guys are out there and seeing them play is good, and just seeing and envisioning myself in that defense for the next year.
Well, getting back to Friday's game, you know, I'm sure you're looking forward to some matchups with Abu throughout the game, you know, on either side of the ball. But what is it that makes him such a special running back?
Oh, he's a freak athlete. He jumped a 25 at State, and nobody can really go out there and do that. So he's a great athlete. I've got a chance to talk to him outside of football, he's a great dude. So he's a great competitor, and it's gonna be a fun battle.
Well, you're obviously counted upon to come up and help out in run support, and that's part of the reason why you're the team's leading tackler. But when you do that on Friday, you not only have to, the challenge of trying to tackle, you know, someone like Abu, but you may have to occasionally try to avoid a block from somebody like Caden Proctor. And I don't believe you guys played Southeast Polk when you were at Roosevelt. So have you ever had a chance to go up against him?
No, I haven't. He's a big kid, though. Just can't let him get his hands on you and try avoiding him. But making the run fit and seeing my reads and just making sure I'm in the right spot at the right time. And if he's there, I'll just adjust.
We've been a big weapon for the team on offense as well. Did it take you a while to learn the offensive system, and do you feel like, you know, you have a handle on it now?
It didn't take too long. Like Coach said, it was a little bit at first. Nothing too crazy, though. It's all learnable, and just getting reps at it and keep repeating it and just doing it every single day, you kind of get a hang of it. So I think I'm in a good spot right now.
Well, the offense has had some struggles this season. You know, do you think there have been some growing pains while guys like you and Jason, you know, got comfortable in the offense, or do you think it's just been a lack of execution at times?
I'll just say lack of execution. We know we got the guys that can do it, and we have a great receiving core, got a great line, got a great running back, quarterback. We got all the pieces that we need. We just need to really put them together. And like I said, I think we're just the only ones that are stopping ourselves.
Well, I know JJ didn't have his best game statistically last week, but you guys did have some dropped passes, including one, I think, by you. I'm sure you'd be the first guy to say that, you know, the receivers need to step up and make some plays too, don't they?
For sure, yeah. I'll take full ownership of the drop I had. I had two drops, actually. One that would have gave us good field position, so it burned a little bit, but we know that JJ's going to get it to us, and we just got to complete the play.
Well, what do you see as the keys for the offensive unit this week? You know, are you confident that you guys can move the ball, and how important will it be to finish all those drives?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be important. We're going to have to get the run game going and open up the field a little bit and get JJ comfortable back there in the pocket and get Jason going in the run game.
Well, I mentioned with Coach how you hardly ever come off the field. Has it been a big adjustment for you to go both ways pretty much full-time, and how hard, you know, has that been?
It hasn't been too hard. It is a lot of times, but you got to do what you got to do for the team, and I don't really see it as a struggle. But at Roosevelt, I did play both ways a little bit, not full-time like I am right now. But it's a different feeling playing both sides of the game and being out there quite a bit.
Well, I know you're projected as a defensive back at the next level, but you have shown an ability to make plays on offense this fall. Have you enjoyed playing as a receiver, and do you think you could play that position in college if that opportunity ever arose?
For sure, yeah. I really fell in love with the receiver spot. Coach Walls did a great job helping me adjust to it and picking up the things I need to pick up to be a good receiver. So all credit goes to Coach Walls for helping me through that. But I think maybe you could see me on the offensive side of Iowa State. I don't really know. I'll have to talk to Shieldhouse. I don't know how good Coach Broomfield is going to feel about that, but it's a possibility.
Well, hey, if Joel Lanning can play linebacker, you know. Well, I know you're focused on the game this week, but you do have another interesting matchup coming up next Friday. Do you know who you play next week?
Oh, yeah, Roosevelt.
Well, I'm sure you still have a lot of buddies at Roosevelt, and you did play against the Rough Riders during baseball season, but this will probably be a little different, you know, since football is such a physical sport. Is that going to be kind of an emotional night for you?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a great night for me. Back at Drake, my old home field, and atmosphere is going to be great. Get to play against the guys that was on my team last year, so it's going to be a great competition, great environment. I'm just focus on this week and come out with the dub this week, and we can focus on that later.
All right, Jamal. Hey, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. Good luck on Friday. I'll see you over there.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my final guest tonight is the President for Sports Performance and Rehab at Engineered Performance by DMOS in Ankeny. And DMOS is one of our newest sponsors here at Ankeny Fanatic. He is Joey Glenn. Joey, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Of course. I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and we certainly appreciate the support from DMOS. I know a little bit about Engineered Performance because I know Dr. Matt Zaretta pretty well, and he had me come in one time to treat a nagging heel injury that I had a few years ago. But why don't I have you start out by telling our listeners, you know, what you do at Engineered Performance and how I mean, how has that been improved with your integration with DMOS?
Yeah, absolutely. So Engineered Performance is a sports performance and rehab facility. And what I mean by that is it's we do both physical therapy, sports rehab after an injury, but then we also take it the next step and kind of integrate sports performance. So high-end return to play or return to activity. Like you said, Matt's fantastic. He's one of the PTs with us. Mm-hmm. And we have a team of PTs that are basically athletes, people that understand the demands of very active people. And so that's kind of what we get or where we niche down into. So it's been a lot of fun. Our integration, though, with DMOS has been massive for us. It's kind of always been the goal, to be honest. Engineered Performance has always been, we try to create this like integrated team of people around the athlete to do whatever that athlete needs. But we've always missed this one piece of the orthopedic practice. So anytime the athletes are injured to a point where they do need surgery or sports medicine physicians, we've always had to reach out in our network to the best doctors in town, which happens to be DMOS.
Sure.
And unfortunately, if aren't within the team, it kind of sometimes there's a game of telephone there. There's not a perfect relationship. We can't just text or call the surgeon. And so when we got the opportunity to integrate with them a little more fully, we jumped at it because now we believe we can bring the entire experience, whatever an athlete needs, to that person with a pretty integrated team, nice seamless solution.
When did that integration occur, or is that still kind of a work in progress?
Yeah, it actually just occurred at the beginning of this month in September.
Okay.
So we've been working on it for a very long time, trying to make sure that it all makes sense and put the right pieces in place. But now we feel like we have the team together and the education to back it. So we're ready to roll.
Well, for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with Engineered Performance, it is located at 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, kind of over there by the Southside Hy-Vee. So, Joey, can you talk about the inception of Engineered Performance, you know, why it was started and why there's such a need for athlete-centered physical therapy with integrated performance training?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was born out of my own frustration as a young athlete. I was a young wrestler. I went to Johnston High School, and I tore my labrum in my shoulder when I was a senior. It was really frustrating for me because, you know, I had to go the route, I had to have surgery, then I went and did physical therapy, but the PT I was doing was in a big box gym, conglomerate, and basically I was just doing the exact same PT as the man sitting right next to me who was just trying to return to a desk job.
Mm-hmm.
And that was frustrating for me because I knew that our demands were different. And so, you know, being a young testosterone-filled person, I tried to get back to wrestling a little bit too soon, maybe ignored the advice of my physical therapist, and ended up tearing my labrum again, something that I still deal with. And, you know, that kind of sparked an energy for me to seek something a little bit different, something for an athlete or somebody that's trying to return to something a little more high performance. So, you know, out of that, I feel very fortunate because I've had some, you know, relatives and friends who kind of meander through college not finding their path. And I felt pretty fortunate because I was extremely passionate about this right out of the gate, and it kind of stuck for me. And then every kind of layer just kind of added more passion to it because I went to the University of Iowa, I studied exercise science, and then I went straight out to LA where I was working at Athletes Performance. They're now called Exos. But mainly with professional athletes, and they got exactly this treatment that I was just speaking about, where they have an entire team, an integrated team of surgeons, performance specialists, physical therapists, nutritionists, dietitians, just anybody that athlete might need. And I kind of found a passion for it, and you know, I was excited about bringing that back to Iowa, and so that's what we've tried to do.
Well, you mentioned the torn labrum that you had. I can sympathize with you. I had rotator cuff surgery in February, so it wasn't fun to go through that.
It's not fun. You can imagine you wouldn't want to do it again, right?
No, exactly. Well, you mentioned that you work with some professional athletes out in California. I don't know if you want to drop any names or not, but did you have some pretty high-profile clients?
Yeah, man. We worked with everybody. So at the time when I was working as a strength coach there, we were doing mainly collegiate athletes that were preparing for the NFL Combine, which was really fun. And then we got eventually I was working with the Chargers and the Padres. And we got random people who were really cool. Like Kevin Love was probably my most favorite athlete that we got to work with and who became a high-profile person pretty quickly. Working with those guys was amazing because not only did they have this team around them, but they were dedicated. They were ready to roll, and I loved that. And, you know, I see that same passion even in our high school athletes back here in Ankeny.
Well, Kevin seems like a pretty cool dude.
He's a cool dude, yeah.
Well, how did those experiences influence your model of care and performance here in Iowa?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we tried to model our model here in Ankeny exactly off of that. So we brought the entire team. We've tried to piece it together. Like I said, the integration with DMOS really kind of filled that circle. So now anytime an athlete is either injured or performing really well, anywhere on that spectrum, we've got a person who's an expert that can help them out. And so we think that's exactly what I saw with professional athletes, and I think it's exactly what high school athletes in Iowa deserve.
So you feel like that integrated network of care then that you have here now with DMOS, I mean, that's going to be a big benefit for the local athletes then, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. That, you know, that game of telephone where if an athlete gets surgery, has to get physical therapy, even just that communication sometimes can fall apart. And then we've all seen the communication between the doctor or the PT with the head coach, and they're not sure if they can play or what they can do or how long they have to sit out. And then with the parents. You know, a lot of times medical jargon gets a little bit confusing too. And so having an entire team that are just surrounding that athlete just seems to be the magic.
Do you guys take in like walk-in clients? I mean, if somebody's not like an athlete, if there's somebody like me that has an injury or something, can they come in and just see you?
Absolutely. You know, we get that question all the time. Like we'll treat Johnny's knee, right? And then his dad's like, well, I like to be active too and my back hurts. But yeah, exactly. We definitely treat anybody. But our passion is people that are active and wanting to get back to something a little more high performance than sitting at a desk. And if that's your job, that's awesome. But on the weekends, if you're trying to keep up with your kids, or like I always say, I want to be able to dunk on my son before he has any idea of what I'm doing. As somebody that's trying to be a little more active, ask a little bit more out of their body, that's where we find our passion. We treat everybody, but I think that person will find their passion inside our clinic as well.
Well, you told me off air that you guys, you know, used to do podcasts over there at Engineered Performance. You guys don't do that anymore?
Or? We don't. We just ran out of time. You know, man, I used to love doing this, mainly because of this. I get to have conversations with really cool people in the community. And that network building, I thought, was just amazing. It's funny you said that, you brought that up too, because one of our most successful podcasts was with Dr. Brunkhorst at DMOS. And that was before, obviously, the integration. And we talked to him a lot about just overuse injuries in sport. He himself was a Big 12 athlete. He's a high jumper, a really successful one. And building those relationships, but then also being able to pick their brains, I thought was really, really cool. And I miss it. Hopefully bring it back.
Well, yeah, you seem very comfortable behind the mic. So.
Yeah, I love doing it. Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. And we'll probably have you on again sometime.
I would love to. Yeah, thanks a lot, Dan.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. We were also supposed to have one of the realtors from Coldwell Banker on tonight, but unfortunately something came up and we weren't able to work that out. So we'll try to get him back on at a different time. I did want to put in a quick plug, though, for MJ Properties. We're recording our podcast now out here at our new office at the Standard on 36. It's a really nice office. And there are some housing units out here as part of the building, too, that if you're interested in finding a new place to live, I've heard that these units are really nice. And we'll have one of the realtors on here again soon to talk about that. But I'm sure they are very nice. This whole building is very nice out here. You'll have to check it out sometime. At Coldwell Banker Mid-America, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny football coach Rick Nelson and one of his senior leaders, Jamison Patton. We also had Joey Glenn from Engineered Performance on. I really enjoyed the conversation with him as well. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.